This is the Valley Outdoors, and glad to have you guys with us. We're going to have a fun show today. It's Ava and I shooting solo today.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Don's off to the northern reaches.
Yeah, did he come back or did he just stay up there?
He just stayed.
Oh, well, that's the way to do it.
I know. He's up there he's up there fishing right now, and we'll just talk very briefly about our trip
okay. And
all the fun that, and games that went on there. So stay tuned. A whole lot to talk about when the Valley Outdoors returns. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Hey, Ava.
Hey, Eric.
Wow, that's a good start. It's nice to see you. Not necessarily nice to be back.
Tell us about the trip.
The trip was fantastic. Just finished up this week, up at Ashkenham Resort with everybody up there from the prize drawing that we had. Fish with us.
Promotion. Yep.
And it was unbelievable. Super fun. Great guys to go fishing with. Everybody was. You had to be flexible because, you know, the weather was not as can be the case. It was warm enough, but we had 25 to 35 mile an hour winds. Well, I shouldn't say 25. Yeah, a couple of days it was 25 to 35. Some days gusting to 40. But we fished through it and made the best of it. Caught fish, even though we were in difficult situations. It was good. We got to rotate everybody. Got to fish with everybody.
Yeah.
And the four guys, Gene and Chris and Jason and let's see who else. Oh, yeah. Joe.
They were
all good. And three of the four caught personal bests, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, you showed me a picture of that nice one.
Yeah, so we'll be posting all those. I just put a teaser on the Facebook site this morning. So a lot of fun. Really, it was crazy cool. Ashkenham Resort, great facility. And it's kind of nice that the only place you can get phone and internet is at the lodge. So mm-hmm. You kind of get once you get used to it, it's shutdown time because nobody is getting phone calls or anything like that. So it's kind of nice.
Well, that's actually
protected marina. You don't have to worry about, you know, boats bouncing around and wind or anything. So
yeah, but sometimes it's nice to like actually not able to take phone calls.
It was nice.
Are disconnected, just be in the moment.
Yeah, it was nice. So I, you know, text people. And you send the text, and it's in your phone until you,
till believe 7 it or not. At night,
Well, we were out in the lake. As soon as you got out to a certain spot on the lake,
it would all send.
And then you get all of your texts and stuff at one point.
Don't go anywhere.
Yeah, move. And I just drive right through the spot. I just keep going. It was past the visitor center on the lake. As long as you're there, you're like, okay, in contact, not in contact.
Yep.
So, but it was a good time. We will provide all the details when Don is back with us.
Can't talk about it until he's here.
Because it's going to be so much fun.
I know some stories, I'm sure.
Oh, my.
I'm looking forward to them.
This is my get back. If he ever was going to try and say anything about my fishing, this is my
turn. This trip was it?
This was,
I'm excited.
This is my deal.
It's always fun to give Don a hard time.
Oh, it is. And I'm going
to
rail it right up.
Oh, I've
got a list. Top 10 things that Don did on the fishing trip.
That we need to talk about.
It's going to be great. It may be top 5. I don't want to go to 10. I feel like I'm picking on him at that point. So we'll just go to top 5.
We'll go to 5.
Yeah, we'll stick with 5. But one of the things that really was proven out is kind of like we were able to go and almost into turn. I went into tournament mode pre-fishing, trying to figure out a bite, figure out tactic, figure out that kind of thing. And one of the things that really came up was you had we downsized. We were originally doing slow death rigs with the shorter leads, which is a single hook and a night crawler. And then we switched. I said, we're going to have to give them more
and give him a lot more food, meaning size, the crawler size. And so we did a two-hook harness with a long distance between the hooks, which and a little tiny, tiny, tiny spinner on it. And that was it, with a bouncer. And the reason we had to go with a bouncer was it was so windy, you could not keep a consistent pull or sure. stay on the bottom unless you had 2 ounces of weight. And usually 2 ounces in a slip sinker doesn't work so well. So that's the only issue we had. So, but it worked well from that standpoint. It was good with the wind. It was.
Yeah. How was the wind? Was it like really bad or not so bad?
It was, let's just say 25 Difficult? To 35.
Okay. I was going to say.
Yeah.
Over 20.
Yeah. And of course it would always come from the northwest or the west, and we dodged thunderstorms and Ooh. Yeah. So, but it, you know, they hadn't had rain for a month, and then we got up there and it rained almost every day. But it was not a, you know, torrential washout most every day. But yeah, that was, it was good. But again, keeping those baits downsized, or the hooks downsized and the rigs, so that you can connect with these fish is a big deal. And it really worked well for us as far as changing up that bite, and a lot of fun. It was a good time. We tried for some pike and some crappies, but the wind got so strong you couldn't really even cast. It was that difficult. So
Ooh, yeah.
You had to stick with the trolling bite, but. What do you do? You know, that was a good time. But just keep that in mind as the bite gets tough. Just downsize and change some tactics to improve your catch.
There you go.
Yep. So things that make you go, story. Massachusetts toddlers were attacked by a coyote in 2 separate incidents within minutes apart.
Oh, what?
Yeah. A coyote roaming Massachusetts town attacked 2 toddlers in separate incidents only minutes apart. Officials had stated officers from the Arlington Police Department were called in at about 5:40 this last Sunday for a report of a child bitten by a coyote. The girl, 2 years old, was in the yard of her home, and the coyote approached, bit her, and dragged her. It was not clear what prompted the animal to flee the yard. Approximately 10 minutes later, police responded to a second report of another girl, also 2, who was attacked in a second incident, they said, and the coyote approached the toddler, scratched her, while she was in the yard of her home. Neither child is believed to have suffered life-threatening injuries. It's about 7 miles south of Boston. So, what? Boston. And they believe the same coyote was behind both attacks.
Okay, I was going to ask.
So, third report was last month when a 5-year-old suffered a coyote bite while playing outside. Authorities are urging the public not to feed the coyotes and protect their pets from them as well. They encourage people to spend time outdoors, advising that the regular presence of people is a deterrent for coyotes
right.
to visit. So,
I'm assuming these 2-year-olds were supervised.
I would think, but again, they're in their own yard.
I know, but I wouldn't leave a 2-year-old alone in my front yard or whatever.
It could be a fenced yard. You never know.
Still, they're 2.
You never know. I would assume so, but.
They didn't say.
We had a video a long time ago that showed a child was wandering around. The coyote stalked her, and as soon as the parent turned around the other way, it was in a different away from the corner, mm-hmm. and then poof, gone.
That's so, probably
speaking
it.
Speaking of gone, we're not gone. We are going to be right back. We're going to be talking to J.R. Civic, seeing what's going on in Lake Minnetonka, what kind of transitions and things you can expect when you head out there for your next fishing trip. Stay tuned. We like to ask you guys to check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. We're going to be having a lot of photos from the trip and Facebook. I've already posted a couple photos up there just to kind of tease the fun and games that went on. And it'll be good. So
yeah,
check that out for us.
Really digging the new website.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just nice and clean. And
I mean, we got people listening all the way out in Green Bay. Shout out to Dan Kay. Out in Green Bay. Get it? Dan Kay from Green Bay.
Ooh.
Buddy of mine. So he's listening. He always waits patiently for the podcast to
sure.
be available.
Well, and so I had to learn how to like put everything on there. And I'm at the point now where I don't have to watch my demonstration video. I think I got it. You know what I mean? Like, I know. I think everything is just.
Well, it's, what's amazing is how many people listen to the show. You don't, and it's, there's no audience that we can see. And there's so many people that actually listen. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, you know, so check it out.
From Pierce, South Dakota, Green Bay. In fact, quite places all over the United States. So it's a pretty cool deal. So speaking of worldwide. Next up is Memories Made, one of the guide services that's out of Minnetonka, but they go all over. We've talked to him many times, friend of the show, friend of mine for a long period of time. J.R. Civic, good to have you with us, buddy. What's going on?
Good to be on with you guys.
So the event we had a couple weeks ago on Tonka, pretty fun event. Lots of fish.
Absolutely.
Lots of fish. And funny part was I took my buddy out as a bass guy. We started throwing some spinner baits not far from the Fletcher's area. I mean, literally, like within 150 feet, we got a 24-inch walleye. Unexpected. And, of course, then I catch all the bass. But kind of one of those role reversals on that. But lots of stuff out there. Lots of fish out there. And really an amazing fishery. But it's going to be in transition right now. What's starting to happen out there? Anything good that people can say, hey, I think I want to go out and go fishing?
You know, I would, my fishing lately has been pretty good. The bass are slowing down. The water's starting to cool. Weeds are slowly starting to die. And as the docks start coming off the lake and the weeds start to die, them fall walleyes start to go in transition to chase the bait. And in the fall, the biggest advice I can give to anyone is if you guys find bait, there's fish close in the area. You just got to use electronics or, you know, trial and error if you don't have electronics to use. And just fish those zones that have tons of bait in it, and that's really, really key in the fall.
Well, and I think any kind of fish going out of Tonka is just an amazing fishery in itself.
It's a powerhouse. You know, everyone looks over it because it's kind of a city lake considered. It's far enough out that I don't really consider it a city lake unless it's Saturday or Sunday when you get the jet skiers and the wakeboarders and all that stuff out there. But during the week, you can get out and fish and, you know, actually get to fish stuff without boats and jet skis driving over and having to worry about that kind of stuff.
And that does make a difference. When you're out early in the morning, you get out before everybody's out there, makes a big difference on that side of the fence. So yeah, it's a pretty
definitely
cool deal.
We, you know, weekend afternoons are really tough. You know, if someone wants to do a trip, then I advise a morning or an evening trip on the weekends for sure.
Yeah, you get to avoid the traffic, and it's much more it's much more enjoyable to get out there and do it that way. So
you know, and
go ahead.
Minnetonka's one of the hidden gems for walleyes. I think it's one of the most underrated walleye fisheries in the state.
Really?
It pumps out some absolute giant fish in the fall. I mean, last year we were getting 20-inch fish, and they were pushing 10 pounds.
Nice.
So they're really healthy. They don't get a lot of pressure. I mean, they have a little bit of pressure, but in the summer, most guys are going after bass, and then fall comes, and then the musky guys come out. And, you know, there's definitely the local walleye guys that'll be out there every single night fishing, but it's pretty quiet, and there's a lot of the water to cover, so...
Well, I think the other thing, too, JR, if you look at it, in the summer months, trying to catch walleye out there has been a challenge.
Most definitely.
You know, because you try to figure out where they're at, and it's difficult to locate those fish in summer. No way around it.
Yeah, it definitely is, because there's so many weeds, and I've actually spoken with the DNR about this, and they come out of stocking ponds, and the stocking ponds are, you know, shallow, and they're covered full of weeds. So when you take a fish that grew up in the weeds and you throw them in a weedy lake, you know, where are they going to go? And they go in the mat. And, you know, I'll get one here and there occasionally bass fishing when punching mats for bass. And, you know, they're in there. It's just tougher to get them to bite.
No, no question about it. So if you're going to go out right now, go fishing during the day, what are you going to look at trying to do? Are you going to look at throwing spinner baits right now? You're going to be looking at throwing...
Chatter baits are starting to go a little bit. I've been kind of running a Ned rig. I haven't really taken a Ned rig off of my personal rod when I'm out in the boat. I feel like the Ned rig works for all sorts of fish. We actually got a musky the other week.
On a Ned rig.
On a Ned rig. And, you know, it was the craziest thing. I had two people from Texas in the boat, and a guy had never caught a freshwater fish before, and the first fish he catches is a musky on a Ned rig.
That's crazy. So just to cover, if anybody doesn't know what a Ned rig is, it's basically a jig with a short plastic worm that's elastic beyond belief. So it feels, it's got the feel of that's real, but yet it's still a jig, and you basically just drag it across the bottom for the most part.
You know, and I kind of look at it as like a walleye presentation as well, because it's like jigging a minnow almost, essentially.
Exactly.
I use stand-up jigs. My go-to jig color is always chartreuse when I'm throwing a Ned rig, and then obviously the plastic kind of depends on the forage and the water, and I tend to lean towards bluegill colors on Lake Minnetonka due to the fact that there's so many.
Really? I can't imagine bluegill color would be popular.
Right. I know. It's absolutely insane. You know, in the fall, you cut up the walleyes, and they got little bluegills in them about the size of a silver dollar. So it's kind of matching the hatch kind of deal.
Oh, yeah. No, that's cool. So the Ned rig is working pretty much, I would say, almost all year long.
Yeah. You know, once the water warms up, like, I don't run it right away in the spring. You know, that's like a spinnerbait, chatterbait, drop shot, wacky worm kind of deal. Once it warms up, that's when I definitely go to Ned rigs. And I'll have a guy throw a drop shot in the boat, and then I'll just keep a Ned rig on constantly. And it's a very versatile bait, and it's easy for beginners to learn how to run it as well.
Right. Well, and it's also, you know, you need to set it up as far as position. I mean, not every spot you can run a Ned rig.
No.
And if you do it and try dragging through certain spots on the lake, you're going to end up losing every one of them you have in the boat.
Exactly. So, you know, and I kind of look for the mats that have holes. I get my side imaging out, and I look for little patches of weeds, you know, that aren't consistent big field of weeds. Because them fish will just hang out on the outside of them little patches in the weeds and wait for bait to come by, and they kind of snatch and grab and go back in the weeds.
Yep. Yep. No, that's so true, and a lot of times guys will run spinners up high as well, and that works pretty well.
You know, and that's kind of what I do. I'll give a guy, you know, chatterbait, spinnerbait, have them run that, and then I have another guy throw some sort of plastic, and we kind of just figure it out from there. What are we getting more strikes on? And kind of that's how I switch back and forth, you know, throughout the day.
So
crankbaits have been working kind of too. I guess guys have been trolling. My other partner in the guide service, he's been trolling cranks catching bass as well, and I know they're eating minnows.
Right, right. Well, if you're looking to say chatterbaits, what's the key to the chatterbait deal? I mean, is there a key color, key size? What's your favorite?
I'm using I use half-ounce ones. I mean, basically on Tonka, if you're fishing up in the mat and throwing over the weeds, you're in shallower water, so you don't need a very heavy jig. You know, if you hold your rod tip up and you reel it back fast, it's gonna lift up, and if you keep the tip down and reel slow, it's gonna sink more. So you kind of can play with it, you know, opposed to the depth on the way you set your rod tip and retrieve your bait.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good point. And you're really using electronics, and a lot of times it's that mid-lake structure as well that works pretty well if you're going to be looking for those deeper big fish. They have a tendency to hang out in some of those spots.
You know, and every bay on that lake is different. It's all kind of all their own ecosystem. So, you know, you fish each bay differently. I mean, some of the bays that are really clear, the weed line goes out to 20, 21 feet. So you're fishing the edge of them weed lines. You go to a dirty bay, and the weed line could be in 8 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, photosynthesis through the water with the sun and all that stuff. And it changes every year.
Yeah.
You know, weed line's never the same every single year.
It is a good point, and I think that's one thing with Minnetonka that a lot of times can be challenging. And that is really the reason why you are doing what you do with the Memories Made Guide Service, because you're able to get people out there, show them a couple pointers, get them rolling on it, and then they can kind of take it from there, or they just say, you know what, I'm just going to do this because I enjoy going out. I don't have to work at it. And, you know, especially on Tonka, and you guys catch some awesome fish. So that's really the key point to it.
You know, and now I'm actually on my way up to Lake of the Woods to go fish a tournament for the year. And then when I get back, the water, you know, I'll be back in about 10 days. The water should be cooled down enough, and traffic should less and less every day from here on out. And them walleyes are going to start firing, so anyone that wants a chance at definitely a trophy fish out of Minnetonka, the time is the fall.
Well, I would say it definitely be able to catch a personal best for sure in many, many
Absolutely.
Cases. You're looking at 26-plus-inch walleyes. Yeah, that's a pretty amazing size fish no matter where you go, and being able to do that and have a good time at it, not have to struggle. You jump right into it, and you're on the bite, and you just you learn. The education process is vertical at that point, and well, you just have to catch up the slack.
Most of my job taking people out, I enjoy the teaching aspect as well. You know, it's not just get out in the fish, you know, get out and fish. It's, you know, this is why I do this, and this is when you should do this, you know. So it's giving knowledge to the people that come in the boat. It's not just coming in the boat and we're going fishing. You're coming to learn something as well, so you can, in the future, try to do things on your own without having to hire a guide.
But we don't want to shy away from hiring a guide, of course, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, and you're going to learn, and as technology gets better and better, there's more and more we learn as it goes on. And I feel now if a guy doesn't have some sort of live acting transducer and you don't fish out of the front of the boat and cast now, you're going to kind of struggle.
Yep. No, that's what I've understood that and have seen it in tournaments, and it's a big advancement as well. We'll be obviously talking more about that down the road, but we're going to be definitely have more time as time goes on. JR, thank you much, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
Memories Made Guide Service. We'll have that link on our website if you ever want to lock in and sign up with JR to go out for a fishing trip. You definitely will have a good time. No question about it, buddy. Good luck up there at the tournament.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Have a good one, man.
Take care, guys.
You bet. Talk soon.
Bye.
All right. We'll be back with more Valley Outdoors right after this.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
It's always fun talking to JR.
He's such a nice guy.
Yeah, he's definitely got the finger on a pulse of that lake. And I have definitely seen the fish. I will be going out with him and this year.
Okay.
On Tonka and have a firsthand report about the fun and games that go on when you're out there. So it's kind of cool. Wanted to just talk about a record that happened to come out of the Minnesota area. It just got certified. The DNR certified a new catch and release record in Minnesota for the Northern Pike and a tie for Muskie. Anglers over the summer have caught and released a new Minnesota state record Northern Pike and tied the record for a muskie. Minnesota DNR certified the catch and release record Northern Pike at 46 1/4-inch fish. And again, this is catch and release, so there's requirements you have to have. Catching, length, I believe it's girth, and then photographs to confirm it. That record 46 1/4-inch fish was caught this June on Basswood Lake by Brecken Kobelecki, a 15-year-old from Geneva, Illinois. The previous record was 45 1/4 inches, so nice little bump. And that was caught in the Rainy River in 2018. That was the biggest fish he's ever caught. He was fishing with an Ely-based fishing guide with about 10 minutes left in their final day of fishing, and they were trolling for pike. He said, "We hooked into the huge pike that was barely hooked. We could hardly land it because it was so big and with the weight of the fish. Once the fish was in the boat, they carefully took a few photos, measured the pike before releasing it back into the open water," which is nice about getting that kind of a record. It's catch and release, so it's back swimming. You don't have to verify, come back, drag it, and then end up killing the fish to do so. The DNR also certified a 57 1/4-inch muskie caught on July 23rd on Lake Vermilion by Todd Kirby of Hudson, Wisconsin. That tied a 2019 muskie size, also caught on Lake Vermilion. So quite a big bunch of big fish up there. With two Vermilion Lake muskies now tied for the state record, a well-known water body continues to prove itself as a top muskie fishing destination. He's fished the lakes a couple handful of times and was familiar with small pockets that seems to hold muskie. That Friday night, we were up against the weather. There was a huge storm front moving through, creating extremely unstable conditions. Humidity was high, storm clouds were building, and one of those nights the fish seemed to be super active. We had multiple chases, one resulting in a 48-inch fish in the net. At the time, that was my personal best. Continued to fish into the night, and around 10:30, he had a large thud hit the line, no more than 15 yards from the boat, which is, if you've ever fished muskie, that's one of those thuds that you're like, it's running the other direction,
right. Yeah.
And I've got no control. He compared it to feeling like moving a large log.
Yeah.
After a few splashes in the dark, it was in the net. Everything just happened so fast. This guy and his partners, John and Will Gavick, thought the fish looked 50 inches, were amazed in seeing it caught. It was even longer and just ginormous, 57 and a quarter inch. I don't care who you are.
Jeez.
That's a
monster. I'd be scared.
And
big fish like that scare me.
Yeah. One, it would earn the state record, which is pretty cool. The bait just so happened to be on that side that it ate it, but the whole night we couldn't have made it possible without his two buddies. Fishing is a team effort, and when you have a good team on your side, landing a fish of that caliber creates a memory of a lifetime. I'll tell you, when I caught my 55, having one of the best guides ever with me to net it was kind of nice, and it really teamwork effort was awesome. And you think about it, and it's just... kind of gives you the chills. It's pretty amazing. A couple buddies of mine, they're big muskie, Sean and Tyler. Those guys are big time fishing muskie guys, and I just feel fortunate to have got one that big. And you know, there's a lot of people that have never had the chance to do that. So
or even catch a muskie. I've never caught one.
No, I've caught some big pike. I caught 42, 44 inch pike, but yeah, pretty crazy when it comes down to it. I will say that. And congrats to those guys.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, that's pretty awesome. So 57 and a quarter inch muskie and a 46 and a quarter inch pike. I'm sorry, but the pike that big is just, they're so heavy. They're just pigs. I mean, it's unbelievable. We were on the river this year. We were catching them that were, you know, 32 to 39 in an evening. We caught a bunch in that category, and they just tear you up. It's amazing, so... Speaking of tearing up, I'm tearing up. The show's over.
Yep.
I don't want it to be done.
Sorry.
But hey, guys, next week we will be highlighting all the fun and shenanigans and the top five things that Don did that impressed me or not during the trip to Ashkenam Resort. Stay tuned, guys. Thanks for listening. We're the Valley Outdoors. We are out.